Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Homeschool episode 50. It's a special episode this week. Andrew and I are coming off a weekend of self-produced theater shows. And so we wanted to just kind of talk about those and how it went, because it was a pretty big deal for not just our comedy, but our lives, and coming back to comedy after being closed down for 18 months. Pretty wild. So
yeah, I forget about that. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. Well, we have some upcoming dates, too, because things are opening back up. I'll be at Laughs Comedy Club in Seattle July 30th and 31st, headlining for the first time. They finally put some faith in me, and we'll see if we can sell some tickets. And that's the big one for me, so I'm just going to leave it at that for now.
Andrew's Comedy Bar in Nashville,
yes,
July 23rd and 24th. And that's really, and then in Kirkland, August 6th, we're about one quarter full, and that makes me a little nervous, but should be fine.
I'll be around for that. Maybe I should just run an ad too, and then do the show with you guys. But all right, we'll talk about that. Let's just get right into it. We don't need that school bell sound, people. No, that's
there's no monologue anyway. In case anyone is worried or
really
concerned.
Wanting that. Yeah. There might be.
Wait,
some
we need
jokes.
10 minutes of bad jokes first. I don't know what happened.
Well, we started both shows with 5 minutes of okay ones. Actually, that's
well.
That's
you
how
told me that
it, yeah.
My jokes were too funny. That I should have. I was going to have a hard time following myself. Actually,
you were killing, and then because I mean they're battle tested jokes and they sound off the cuff, even though they weren't off the cuff 100%. But they sound like it to the audience, so they're like, "Wow, this guy's just coming out here riffing and." He's this good riffing, and then and then you got Todd. Well, you got Todd going up doing having a short good set, and I had a short ish good set. And
I think you had a great set. It wasn't that short though. I think I wasn't keeping track of the time, and I didn't light you. But I remember being back there and thinking, like, I think it's been 20, and you. And you said, like, oh, I don't have time for that, so I'm going to skip that, and I better get Andrew out here soon.
Yeah, I think I turned my thing, it's 27 is what it ended up being.
Oh, perfect.
So, yeah, we were trying to keep it a little tighter than that, I know, so I was like, I got to get out of here. But yeah, so
anything under
30
was the goal.
Well, I mean, we've done some research on the internet. We've talked to people who self-produce their own shows and have figured some stuff out, and then we've tested and battle tested it, and then everything locked down for 18 months.
Yeah, the beginning of it was the start of 2020 was going to be the year where I did my Eagles cover band tour.
That's right.
And, I had some success and some spectacular failures. I sold like 120 tickets each night in like Mobile, Alabama and like Pensacola, Florida and Biloxi, Mississippi. And then I sold like 40 tickets each night in Dallas and Houston and San Antonio. And my ex-girlfriend thankfully didn't come to the shows. So,
well, and
the whole reason I booked that tour is to be like, I'm going to sell out a big theater near you and you're going to regret it. And then I was like, thank God you didn't show up.
That's really funny. To be fair, there's a distinct difference between those two groups of cities in terms of size and, the Eagles
and
cover
what
band,
they consider, yes,
and,
what they consider
comedy,
famous.
Sure. Yep. And what comedy rooms exist already versus who they've had.
Right.
You know, I mean, San Antonio, Houston, and what'd you say,
they'll
Dallas?
Have improvs. Yeah.
Yeah. They've had big names and, whatever. And Mobile and the other ones maybe haven't as much. I don't know.
Right, that's the thinking, but, you know, I still am motivated by revenge, and so...
well, I sold a bunch in Houston, but...
Yeah, that's the other thing, is maybe I could have messed up the ads, I could have done something, or people just don't like me, you know? It's
who
just,
knows?
Who knows?
Who knows? Yeah.
It's hard to
well,
tell.
Well, so, things locked down, and, we like to... Kind of the thing is, like... depending upon the club, I don't know about you, but I'll email them. In fact, laugh. So it's coming up, and I kind of went, well, what do you want me to do? We got options here. I can go hard. I can go comps. I can go half price. I can go, you know, where a lot of these famous people just are like, well, I just tweet it out a few times and put it on Instagram, and they don't even have a thought of paying for ads.
But
they probably could. I mean, some of them could, you know, do better if they did. They wouldn't have to play the club. They could just do a theater. You know?
I mean, there are several comics with much better credits that have reached out to me and been like, hey, how are you doing the thing with the theaters and the, because I can't sell tickets. And I'm like, oh, I'll teach you. So
that reminds me, I need to get that video from you because somebody was asking about it and wanted to know how to do Facebook ads. But
I got booked for featuring for Erica Rhodes. So come out to Tacoma Comedy Club because I've got to teach her how to run some Facebook ads.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Why don't you just feature for me? And that's the way. How about I just open for you? And it's really better to do it in person. And
you know,
and
just come over to my house, have a bottle of wine. Let's just talk it over.
Future guest, Erica Rhodes. She said she'll be a guest, but she's just too busy right now. So now coming back, we tried first big go-around was in our two respective hometowns and literally the very first full weekend that Washington State was open to 100% capacity. So
and we didn't book that way on purpose either.
No, we thought maybe hopeful. 50% would be... Mm-hmm. You know, the case, and that would have been fine. We would have figured it out, but it's really nice to have that first weekend of 100% open because, one, we got to sell more tickets, and two, people were kind of chomping at the bit to get out.
Yeah. That was the thing. You kind of brought it up at the beginning, but I didn't even realize it until North Bend had the owner's son host and was like, thanks for our first weekend back. And I was I guess I've been on tour to some cool states. And, you know, life's been a little bit normal for me for a few months. So that's always nice. And it feels good to, I mean, North Bend especially, you're probably closer with the Everett. I definitely think Everett was appreciative too, although less expressive, but. Mm-hmm. But the owners of the North Bend Theater were like, I kind of happened to walk in on them when they were looking over their concession scales and concession sales. And they were like, oh, my God, this is amazing. I can't believe it. And this is awesome. And
right.
And so they're so thankful. And they're like, we always know when you're here, it's going to be a sellout. And I'm always like, well, you have more faith in me than I do. But glad you had it's nice to help out. A local business, you know, this is not only money for us, but it's money for someone else's dream, you know?
Yeah.
When I ordered $5,000 worth of t-shirts and I picked them up, the guy was like, dude, you saved our month. We turned a profit this month because of you. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool, you know?
That is interesting. Yeah, and you don't think about that entirely. And you kind of go, sometimes you feel even like, I don't know. Almost
and
badly.
The weed source.
Like, oh my
like,
God.
Thank you so much for buying so much drugs.
All the abortion clinics are happy that I'm.
They're but, sad that you're all waifed up.
Man. He's. Oh,
we had a good stretch.
He's keeping us afloat. That's what it was. So did me and some of those ladies had a good stretch. But. sometimes I even go like, sorry to put you guys out, you know, and then I'm like, put you out? What am I talking about? This is their job. And this is but at Everett, it's like all these volunteers. And so you're like, oh, man, they're all volunteering for this. And but they chose to do that. And then I'm walking away with money going, sorry, you're welcome.
And I think Everett was cool, too, because we usually. Yeah, I think in Everett, too, he had sort of the agreement to we had to pay the sound person.
Right.
And then once we showed him our ticket sales, he was kind of like, you know what? Don't worry about that. I'll cover that.
Yeah.
You guys did great. Thank you. So.
Yeah. Cool. Well, and then, you know, so then So anyway, I don't know, for people that don't know, I guess we should say it went really well. We sold out North Bend.
And 475-ish in Everett, which is incredible. Now, I thought it was like an 800-seater, but when I was up top in the balcony, I only saw like maybe another 100 or so, like maybe 150 seats.
Yeah. So I don't think it fits 800.
I'm guessing 600 or something like that.
Right. So we maybe could have pushed a little harder, and it's hard to, you know. So what we do is promote just in general, but then we do Facebook ads, and we figure those out, and you just kind of gotta.
Oh, are we getting a little bit of math?
Are we getting the return that we want? Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it was
great.
You
thought it was four tickets per, or like
Like four event responses per one
ticket sale,
something like that. And so if you can break down, if you're getting a dollar per event response, you're spending $4 for every $20 ticket sale, which is pretty good.
Right.
And then it just, goes up from there. So we try to keep it under $2 because that's, about $8 to $10 for every $20 ticket. Now we also do like early bird specials and VIPs and different incentives. And I think it would be fun to, even because Everett, we did like 50 $10 tickets and 100 $15 tickets. And like,
right.
Yeah. I wonder if we could get almost 600 with, hey, just $10, $10.
Yeah,
go, let's just fill it up with cheap ass tickets. And
Right. I wonder, because so I was just talking to Angela at Laughs, and she said, we kind of were going slow on the reopening just to be sure people wanted to come out, just because it's legal to come out. Does that mean people were ready to come out? And
I had the same talk with her a couple weeks ago. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it's nice out. And does that matter? Is that good, bad, whatever? Staff, do we have enough staff? Should we hire staff? If we hire staff and then can't, give them
keep
hours,
the
is that really who's that good for? Nobody. But she said last week was really great, and this guy, I don't know if it was, she said I think a lot of people came to see him, but it wasn't entirely because of him, because he's not famous and he sold a lot of tickets. And so anyway, she feels like pretty good about heading back out there and going for it. But like, for that reason, she's like, I don't know that we need to do comps or even discounts. I mean, it's a $15 ticket, or whatever. She's like, we just paid $100 to see Counting Crows. And I'm like, yeah, Counting Crows are great, and I wouldn't mind going to see them. I don't know that I'd pay $100, but she's like, I mean, $15-$20 for a night out at a comedy show seems like, after having not spending any money, literally people's budget on going out, besides food, has been $0 for 18 months. So,
right.
Their first time out or first few times out paying 20.
They're going to be like, who cares? I'm rich. And then 3 months later, they'll be like, actually, shit.
Right when we're in Houston. They're going to be like, we're out of money and Christmas is coming up. So, nope. But that's the thing is, so we like to do this other places. And I've found that there's a few, the way people are locally is that even if it's 5-10 minutes away or 10 miles away, they don't want to travel. So Snohomish is already sold out for this Saturday. It's been sold out for a week. And I'm trying to tell the guy, like, hey, open that patio so we can sell 15-20 more tickets. And he's hesitant. I think he might not be finished with the patio. That's what I'm worried about. But anyway. That's Brad Upton, who has an amazing, a really great video that people scroll and see 80 million and maybe think, wow, I can't believe I get to see this guy at a pizza spot in Snohomish, or Maltby is actually what it's called. And I wish I knew, we know a lot, but I wish I knew all of what people think, and it could really, maybe change a bit how we approach things, but yeah.
I mean, that's the thing is that's why I like having the emails go to me and looking at them as they come in and kind of going like, oh, I just increased my spending, or I just changed my ad and now I'm getting better results. And now I'm, and also with Everett was a little slow up until the last couple days. And then we sold like, you know, probably 100 tickets in 2 days. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, and then, and you wonder like, did we have that many sold the whole time, or did they decide last minute, or do they just know they could wait till last minute?
Right. Right.
You know, I don't know if that's the stuff you can get without a lot of direct outreach, but
actually chatting with them or even adding questions, it'd be hard to deduce exactly what goes on. That was what I was going to ask you. Is the default on Eventbrite to ask what party they want to sit with, or did you add that?
Oh, I added that because Everett was going to do assigned seating if it was still like Corona restricted. So
right. Okay.
He was like, party name so we can all see. That's why, like, at the very beginning, I was making a seating chart in, and then I was like, we'll just, it's fine.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Yeah.
Just everybody put a party name and we'll figure it out later. And
yeah, I was wondering, because I was standing there as my parents' good friends were trying to check in, going, we're the Mahoots. And they're like, okay, we're with the Michaelis party. And so she's like, okay, mark off two for Michaelis. And I'm like, no. It's under my hood. And then he's going, we're the Michaelis party. It says right here, I was supposed to say which party. And I'm going, yeah. Just so then I'm like, I caught one of those, but there's who knows what. But everybody figured it out and it's fine and whatever. But he's also a stubborn guy where he's like, but it says, and I'm like, it's fine. I'm the one running the show. Don't you think I would know? Like, it's fine. And then they ended up not sitting with my parents either, because they didn't find them or try too hard. I don't know why they didn't sit with my parents, but they didn't, and it was fine. And I'm sure they enjoy their time and whatever, but funny. So, yeah.
Now, the other thing is that theater had no AC, I think. And so
that was a little rough.
It was pretty hot, and I went up to the balcony, you know, filming, taking some shots of you, and just looking around. People are fanning themselves. Yeah. But I was amazed that the crowd was still hot, you know?
Yeah.
They were still enthusiastic the whole set, and you were killing and crushing, even after I did well for an hour, and I was like, poor guy has to follow my best fucking hour, and then... he's coming out with new shit and he's just killing it anyway. So,
And I was kind of like, said the same thing downstairs. It's like, I might only do 20 minutes or 25 minutes. I don't, you know, we got 20 minute late start or 25 minute late start. We got an 8 minute set, an hour. So now we're an hour. If you count that 25 minutes, we're an hour, 25, we're an hour, 45 minutes in the show. And I haven't even stepped up yet. And I'm like, oh man, but I got to justify them. Whoever came to see me, whoever that was, I got to feel like I sort of justify, you know, they don't go, dude, you know, wait, you know. So,
Corey only lasted 3 seconds. What the hell?
That's normal. And they're like, but yeah, so they just kind of kept laughing. And I was like, all right. And to the point, I was so upset with myself because I probably did two bits that I have no business doing, but I was just sort of like, ah, shit, what do I want to do next? What do I want to do next?
And you wrote a set list out too.
I did.
Just go off script then?
Well, I had this section with three brand new bits, and I had two of them and felt like, all right, that's as much of the, I don't think I can do one more brand new bit right now.
Yeah.
So I went to I just switched to Smolder, then forgot that third bit, or didn't know where you know, whatever, didn't know where to put it. And then got into the teaching stuff and remember there was a bit about my parents I wanted to do. And I was like, damn it. So not only was it like, didn't get it on tape, but also like my parents are there. That would have been so fun to do a bit about them. But actually both the bits were about my parents. So that's a bummer, but you know what are you gonna do?
Yeah.
So, and then you think back and I go, I did this one. What am I doing that?
It's 6 years old. Now, is that the one where I pop my head out for, you know, and they caught parts of it, but you did the thing again where you go, well, some of these are new, I don't know.
That's when
I
decided,
yell from the balcony, go fuck you, Corey.
It's fine. It did fine. So that's the one, that's the spot where I decided to not do the third. Next bit was going to be
the third new one,
Yeah, which is my parents don't, my family doesn't, since my divorce, my family has no confidence in my ability to contribute.
Oh, drink the ice cream. Yeah.
To social gather, you know, to.
That did well in North Bend, I believe.
It did fine. Yeah, it did fine. So I could have done it and it would have been fine and I could have just, whatever. But then the other one is just like, getting them electronics for Christmas and
now,
my mom not understanding social, like, you put your phone number on the internet? That whole thing.
Now, do you, I was going to say, because like, you posted a video of your new stuff from Stir Crazy.
Right.
And I watched the video and I was like, it's kind of a mediocre set, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I go back and watch my Oklahoma set and I'm like, that's wildly mediocre. So like, not because I know what a new bit is like and all that.
Sure.
So not that you're a bad comic, but I was a little nervous for you coming into the shows, but then I was watching you just crush and I was excited. And I was wondering, like, are you just feeding off the crowd more? Because I've seen you do those bits for like 25% capacity in Tacoma and like, you know, random stuff.
Yeah.
But this was the first time I'd seen it, like, you know, really up to its potential, it feels like.
Well, I would say is Stir Crazy, I had committed to trying to do. So I feel like I'm good with them. Mm-hmm. The guys offered me a headlining weekend. It's 50% capacity.
Okay.
Small room already.
Yeah. So like 40 people in that room is half capacity.
That's right. They, as a club and as a everybody that weekend and that night and that all thought, that was great.
Okay.
It was a great feature set, whatever.
Cool.
But I think there's something to be like when you have more time.
Right.
You can open. It's the thing is you can like if I had 40 minutes at Stir Crazy and was doing 20 new, I would intersperse
get them on your
it.
Side with some.
I would intersperse it throughout. I would, you know, whatever. So, you know, that's the other reason I'm upset I didn't do those two bits is because I'm in Everett. I they love me. Like it's going well. They're there to see me.
They paid
me.
To see killing. You specifically.
Paid to see me. It's almost 500 people. And I can
and
tell
you're getting
a story.
Killer video of it, yeah.
Right. And I can do this story about Mr. Therrell that's a very specific story that I'm like, that has a long setup with a payoff that I think's worth it, but I don't, it's, you know, it's his story, but I just kind of like couched it kind of as stand-up. And then I'm like, well, I give it a go. Who cares? Then I know I'm going to close with my the closer is ready to go. So like Dubai, for example, I'm like, I don't want to do anything even remotely close to new because I only have 20. The other two guys are amazing. It's very, you know, there's material I just can't do because it just doesn't relate.
Even your old stuff isn't necessarily,
relatable
full capacity.
Or strong. Yeah. So I'm just like, yeah, totally. And they're a little bit reduced capacity in Dubai, just a little bit.
It's less automatic because you have to stop and go, oh, do I say this Walmart or do I change it to whatever? Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, or do I not do it or do I, Valentine's Day
cards. Is this going to get me kicked out of the country? Is this going to...
Valentine's Day cards. We don't really do Valentine's Day cards. Oh, okay, Post-it notes. I left all these
abortions.
Post-it notes around.
Nothing. All right.
But see, then they love...
Genital mutilation. Ah, here we go. All right.
Now I'm on it. Well, and it's all expats too, so it's like they love this Irish guy. Like they just love that he's doing period blood and, joke about he does a couple pedophilia jokes, and they're just dying and loving it because it's all these British people who are just like I don't know, like that. Anyway,
sure.
So, but yes, I think there's a feeding off the crowd maybe. But yeah, Stir Crazy wasn't like. Killer set, but I was in a place where I felt comfortable, like they like me.
Yeah. They would not rebook you if you...
It's like a Tacoma. Yeah. Like, I can't do that, and nobody's going, jeez, never have that guy back again.
Interesting.
Good.
Because I feel like you're a good act out guy, but I mean, like, even in the theater, I was sitting there going, like, I'm really not that expressive. You know, I'm, like, killing, but I'm not... I'm, like, trying to do facial expressions more and, like, a little bit of, like, derp. When I make like a dumb thing, but but for the most part I was just like, I'll just stand here and tell my jokes.
right. Well, and there's that big stage and there is a feeling of feeling like you should.
I did regret the stool being right next to me because I felt a little trapped by the stool, but at the same time, whatever.
Well,
and it's not like I was going to move a whole lot, but I felt like, well, there's nothing on the stool. And I was like, well, I should have got a water on the stool or something. But
funny.
I've never been a water. You brought a cup out and I was like, that's probably because I'm up there talking for an hour. And I'm like, there was like a one or two points where I stumbled over like, you know, a three syllable word for the third time or whatever. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I could have.
Use some hydration.
But then I also don't like just pausing my set and being like, hang on, guys, I gotta take a quick thirsty drink here. You know, I don't know. Always feels weird.
Well, and I you're unscrewing a cap and you're doing a whole thing. Yeah. And but like I see people bring up a beer, set it on the stool, do an 8-minute
and never
set,
touch
and never
it.
Touch it. Yeah. That's so silly to me. So
bring up a towel for a 2-minute set.
I don't know if you noticed, I brought out a photo of Helen Keller and set it down because I thought I might talk about it. Because as I was walking up the stairs, there's this photo of Helen Keller. It said Helen Keller spoke here at this. And I just thought it was such a funny thing to like. But I didn't.
There was a portrait of
Keller.
Like a dead girl on the side of the stage too.
Oh, did you hear me talk about that?
Oh, I didn't hear you. Okay.
Right when I came out, I go, I'm not recording shit. So like I pretended like to kick over the stool.
Funny.
Stool.
That's funny.
I was like, what if I started breaking stuff like these lights and that photo? And I was like, that'd be awkward. I mean, that's been awkward the whole time with that being there. To be honest, just
that's funny.
And they were kind of like, they like it was like a slow laugh of like, we kind of saw that dead lady.
I don't know. Yeah, I wonder if they look at that and go, I wonder what that is. Or they go, because it was off to the side.
So I thought, okay, so when we first get there, I'm glad I read it and paid attention to it because I thought it was left over from like a funeral that had been there or something. And I was like, hey, I was about to say, hey, we could move that, right? But then I read it, and that's who the stage is in honor. They've named the stage after that person. And it's the so-and-so Susan B. Komen whatever stage. And I was like, oh, shit, I'm glad I didn't say anything.
Funny.
Can we get rid of this stupid thing?
Yeah. We were there for the dope show, and that was there, and we all kind of made fun of it. But I didn't really read it or anything, so I'm glad I didn't acknowledge it.
Well, so everything did well. So I saw you mentioned maybe you'd left a line out or joke out or maybe.
It was a little bit of a joke, but I mean, I honestly can't remember because I know I did it on the North Bend show, but then there's a line that I added about like I used to be embarrassed that I smoke weed, and then I realized how popular OxyContin was. I'm doing fine,
right?
And it's a fun line. At the same time, I'm also like, it'd be nice to have one or two lines ready if I'm starting over completely, you know, to be like, you know, cause I got a few old jokes maybe that I can, lean on for a little while. And
I think that's why people listen to murder podcasts. Cause they're like, oh, I'm not as bad as these people. Oh, okay. All right.
That's funny. Yeah.
I'm just a regular asshole. I didn't murder anybody. Or...
I divorced my wife. I didn't fucking bury her. I also just thought I was being funny to be like 4 a.m. Oh, shit. I forgot a line. I'm up all night thinking about it. And,
sure. Can we start over? Yeah.
Yeah. Can we retape? Sometimes I think like, I think my Instagram story is really entertaining, but I don't know that people really watch it. If you know that,
you know, how do people watch? Do they go like this?
And just kind of go like, cool. Because I posted that big story. Well, I guess we'll recap too. This missed my flight for the first time in my career.
Yeah, I've missed, let's see, two ever. And go ahead. Yeah.
And it's so I flew to Oklahoma City to do a practice gig. Mm-hmm. And
that's what you call her, huh? All right.
Hey. It is the Lord is blessing me right now, but couldn't get laid for a year. All of a sudden, every girl I've ever met is DMing me and going, "Let's hang out," and great. But anyway, so I flew out there, and then I booked a 6 a.m. flight on purpose because I was like, if anything goes wrong, I have more time to get back to my $10,000 gig. You know? Like if it were just like a bar show, I'd be like, oh, I'll book that flight that lands at 4 p.m. and then just, you know, figure it out. But I also looked on the website. Alaska's website says like, this flight is on time 60%. And I'm like, 40% seems like a little risky for me. So
you were flying Alaska.
I flew American to connect to an Alaska flight. I had to connect to Dallas first. And that was with American. Show up to the airport at 5 a.m., you know, like an hour and 10 minutes before the flight, like I usually do. And there's lines everywhere. At five,
we have TSA pre-check, and
and I'm a professional
American. Yeah, I don't know,
traveler. I mean, that's the thing is, like, I do this every week. I'm not an idiot. I know when to get to airports, and I generally know what I'm doing. Yeah. And I only packed one bag because I packed a very light merch bag because I was like, I'm not going to sell 500 t-shirts in one night, and I don't want to lug this thing around. And I should have just put it on my duffel because that would have been a carry-on, and that was the main issue. So I get in, I'm like canvassing this huge line that's just I get there, and on my app I download the American app just so I can use the phone for the ticket, and it says this airport's not accepting electronic tickets, please print it out at the counter. Going like, fucking what?
Yeah,
I mean, like, okay. And I've flown out of this airport plenty of times, and I'm not an idiot. And so, but there's huge lines. Everyone's trying to print their tickets and going, what the fuck? And so I'm like canvassing this line, and I'm going like, oh shit, I don't know if I'm going to make it through this line in an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm like halfway up the line, and I'm kind of walking back and forth, and I hear a guy like complaining to his wife or whatever, and he's like, I've been in this line for 40 fucking minutes, what the hell? And I'm like, shit, well, if that takes 40 minutes, I am fucked, you know. And so I mean there's so many people that it's like the hallway is basically full, and so there's only like a single file line to scoot through.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of scoot up to like the front, and then I just kind of stood there, and then I just kind of stopped in line.
Yeah.
And like hoped nobody noticed. And like I kind of cut in front of these people that were Asian and they were not speaking English. So I was like,
perfect.
Maybe they won't know, or they won't yell at me, or they won't know what to say, or who knows, you know? And they were just like, blah, 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 baggage. And I was like, oh, they're probably pissed off about the same thing I am. So
yeah,
cool.
Right.
So it takes me 5 minutes now because I cut in line and I print out my ticket. I'm like, oh, yeah, cool. That's now I just have this long line that's to drop the baggage off. But that should go quickly because all you have to do is go, hey, I'm on that flight. Can you put this on there? And then they go, cool. And so I get to the back of the line. It'd be way too obvious to cut in that line.
Mm-hmm.
Although I could have, I mean, I might. Even if I cut that, well, I guess I missed the flight by 1 minute. So if I cut the line, I could have. If I had begged people, be like, please, I got to get a flight in a half hour.
You know?
But so I get in line and I'm sitting there, and it's like a half hour, and the line has maybe moved 5 feet. Yeah. And I'm like, well, this is concerning. And I'm like looking at the timing and they're like now boarding. And it's the alert on my phone. And I'm like, OK, well, we got a little
bit
of time.
But yeah.
And I'm like kind of looking. And I'm also stoned, by the way. I like to smoke and then get on a plane and just sleep and whatever. But I'm a productive stoner, so I can navigate and do stuff. I'm not like out of my mind. Yeah. But I am kind of like looking around going like, am I stoned or are we not moving? You know, like I'm, you know, and I kind of like, and you know, you make eye contact with other people in a line and they're like looking around also. And they're like, we're kind of like looking at each other. Going,
shrugging.
Yeah. Like, is this normal? And I kind of out loud, I'm like looking at this lady. I'm like, this is crazy, right? Is this just me? And she's like, yeah, I don't know what the fuck is happening. And this woman, this wife is talking to her husband and she's like, wow, I mean, when we got the email that said to be here 3 hours early, I didn't know that they meant it or whatever. And I was like, well, I didn't get that email.
Didn't get that email.
So I'm like, fuck. So I kind of look at that guy and I'm like, I mean, they can't take off if no one's on the plane, right? And he's like, I don't think so.
Right.
And turns
Who's
out they
going
will.
To Seattle. Dallas,
nobody.
Or...
Yeah, yeah. So and the other thing is too, I have like, and maybe this is just because I'm Alaska MVP gold or whatever, but they've called me and been like, hey, we're about to close the doors. Where are you?
Yeah.
And I'll be like, oh, I'm 2 minutes. I'm literally running away. Or there was one time where I was like, I got enough time to take a piss. And then as I'm walking in the bathroom, my phone is ringing and I see them at the gate going like, where the fuck is this guy? And I'm like, oh, shit, I don't have time.
Never mind.
To piss.
I'll pay you later. Yeah.
So I was like, get the phone. And they're like, hey. And I'm like, oh, shit, that's me. I'm sorry. I thought I was going to piss. And then one time I accidentally booked this has happened a couple times. I booked like the return flight on a different day or like, you know, one time I booked a return flight on the same day I arrived. And so like they called me up and I had just checked into my hotel. They're like, hey, are you coming to the flight? I'm like, oh,
I
no,
landed.
I just, like, yeah.
What?
What?
Oh, I see what happened.
So I thought like, hey, maybe they'll call me. And I was like on the app going like, what's the phone number? I can call them maybe and get a hold of them and let them know. And then so it's a 6:20 flight and it's like it's maybe 5:55. And then all of a sudden it starts beeping. And like they're I guess maybe the computers weren't working all day and then they started working all of a sudden because I didn't hear them scanning any bags. And then all of a sudden I hear them go beep. Okay. And the line is now moving super quick.
Ah.
And so I'm like, oh, fuck. Thank God. So I look at my phone and I'm like three people away and I'm like, okay, 6:02. I got time. I drop my bag off at 6:05 and I'm like, oh, perfect. 15 minutes to get through security and walk. It's fine. Security literally takes 3 minutes and then it takes me. So that's 6:08. And then it takes me 3 minutes to walk to gate 5 or whatever. And I get to the thing and I'm like, they're like boarding 9 of 9. And I'm like, oh, I just fucking made it. And I'm like trying to scan my thing. And the guy's like, are you on this flight? And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, no, you're not. And I'm like, what?
Oh, wow.
And he's like, oh, so we're sweet. He's like, we closed boarding at 10 minutes prior. And I'm like, what the? And I look and it says 6:11 on the thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm like, 1 minute, man. Like, really?
Yeah.
And he's like, sorry, man. Paperwork's filed. Doors closed. And I'm like, okay. And so I get in the count. I get up to the counter and I like take a
did
photo.
Did you? Okay.
And I go, and I'm like, even in that 30 seconds, it's still 6:11. So I'm like, if I showed up at 6:10 and that said 6:10, like, I doubt you know.
Right, because we did it a minute early.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Like when Applebee's is like, it's 9:55, get the fuck out. We're not, you know, we're not accepting new seats until,
But
so, yeah, whatever. So I'm sitting there going like, 6:11. Okay. All right. Well, whatever. And I know it's like not this guy's fault, so I'm trying not to yell at him. And sure, I know also my fate is in his hands, so don't yell at him.
I made that mistake in my last missed flight, and it almost didn't work out. But anyway,
So I'm sitting there, and he's like typing at the thing, and he goes, yeah, we can get you on this thing, and then this flight will get you into Seattle at like 1 p.m. And I'm like, well, how do I get to Dallas? And he's like, I told you this flight. And I'm like, I'm because he's got a mask on. He's being super soft spoken.
Yeah.
And it's a loud airport. And I'm going like, I'm leaning in to hear him.
Yeah.
And then I feel rude because I'm trying to like make eye contact and be like polite. And I'm like, I can't. And he's like, I fucking told you it's the next flight. Just shut up. And then I'm like, so then I'm like, okay. And he prints out that ticket. And I'm like, I can still make my other connection that gets me into Seattle at the same time. And he's like, what? And I'm like, you know what? Don't worry about it. He was literally also, he typed for 11 minutes. Like without,
I don't know what they're doing. Yeah, I don't know what they're doing.
And like, he made a phone call. He was like, yeah, Becky, fucking another one. I'm sorry. It's just me. My access code isn't working, whatever. And I'm like, okay, you know, like,
well, I wonder, like, yeah, what I said to you was like, what is there no like communication from the front to the back to like go, hey, we got a lot of. Or they just like, well, we filled the flight somehow.
I go, hey, man, I was in line for like an hour and a half. And he's like, well, that's TSA's fault, not mine. And I'm like, it wasn't the TSA line. Like, it was the baggage. And he's like, well, we're short-staffed. And I'm like, okay, well, so just fuck off to all your customers? Like, I don't understand, you know?
Yeah,
but I don't say any of this because I'm please get me on a flight that makes me that's where I would have.
So my thing was, I was running late. And it was literally just a little bit too long of a shower, 7 extra minutes of traffic, getting close to the place where I always park my car going, oh, this is going to be...
tight.
It's gonna be tight. Huh. Okay. So now I'm in line at the place where I park my car, and the guy in front of me is chit chatting, and I'm like, no. We're not chit chatting. We're moving through. And so then I get up and he's like, now, well, you're gonna put this, and yeah, I know where to put it. Yep. Let's go. And then they gotta pick you up in the shuttle and you wait at your car. And here's the moment I made my big mistake. I didn't have to have the merch bag. I could have left the merch bag in my car.
Yeah.
That keeps me out of that line.
Yeah.
I walk right on. I walk right through TSA pre-check. I walk in and I get on my flight and we're good to go. Didn't even really think of that. Just was like, I have to have this.
Yeah.
And then I'm in the shuttle to the airport going, oh, I don't have to have this bag. There's no... You know, I'm going to sell 5 shirts and it's going to be whatever. And so that was dumb. But so I'm in that line. I kind of start to like kind of cut in that line because they have for Alaska, they have like the Amazon employees line.
Yeah.
And I saw two guys just walk right up to that. And so I walked behind them and then they're like, oh, actually the line's over here, sir. And I was like, ah, all right.
Yeah.
So I go in that line, I come through, I get to her and she's like, oh yeah, we can't, you're not going to make it. And I was like, ah, but I will make it. I'll make the flight. Just this bag is an issue, right? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, it can go on a later flight. I don't, it can stay here. It can fuck right off. It can, I'm coming back in 2 days. It can just, what? I don't care about this bag. I want what's in it, but, you know, and she's like, well, federal regulations, the bag has to travel with you. And I said, so then this is the big issue. I go, ah, yeah. I mean, unless you guys make a mistake, right?
she's like,
what? Like, well, if you misplace my bag and it comes on a later flight, it's not traveling with me, but that would be, so are you breaking federal regulations in that case? And she goes, all right. And she walked away to go get her manager, brought her manager over. Oh, she goes, she was lying to me, which is a bummer because if she would have just been honest, I had no leg to stand on. But then she lies, and then I'm like, ah, and then I called her on a lie. She goes, oh, well, the gates are, the gates closed anyway. And I go, oh, it's not closed 35 minutes before the flight takes off. And she goes, well, it's marked yellow. It's yellow. And I was like, I don't know what that means. She goes, well, we're just not accepting. And I was like, okay, I'm late. This is my fault. This is not your fault. But these
but
lies.
Now you're lying. Yeah.
Now you're lying to me. So this is making this. And she. That's when she went and got her manager. And she, I think, kind of got in trouble for it, which I'm like, that's not what I wanted.
Also,
she went
her,
and got her manager. Yeah. That's you lied. And you got your. I didn't call for no manager. I don't want to talk to the manager.
Yeah.
So then she goes, well, so the manager walks away. They have a little chat. Manager walks away. And I go, all right. She goes, well, do you want to just go to a different line now? And I was like, no. I want you to give me a flight. And she's like, God damn it, this asshole. I don't want. And then I was like, oh, I should have said yes. I should have went to a different line. And so it's just, yep, let's just call it a day. So then she gets me a flight. And you can see her writing down like times.
Yeah.
Without AM or PM. And I'm like, 11. God, I hope that's AM. And sure enough, it was at a 6 a.m. or 6:30, and then I got an 11 a.m. and got to Tulsa maybe or something.
Okay.
But then it was like, all right, well, check my bag. And she goes, oh, the earliest you can check in a bag is 3 hours ahead of time. And I was like, or two or whatever. And I was like, so now I'm...
Now are you telling the truth
about
this? Or is it yellow?
Are you pissed at me or whatever? Yeah, so missed that one. And then years ago, I missed one, which was interesting because I also... The similar thing where she just at the check-in counter said no, but then when I got all the way in, the gates were right next to each other.
Yeah.
And the gate where my flight was, it was still open, and I was like, oh, but I'd already screwed up. I'd already switched. I'd already whatever, and I was like, fine.
I had a thing a couple years ago on my booked my first cruise, and I like showed up to the airport with like 50 minutes to go, and then they're like, oh, international, you have to check in an hour before with your bags. And I'm like,
right.
Oh, that I'm so sorry. And they're like, sorry, there's nothing we can do. And I'm like, I'm gonna miss a cruise ship. I can't be on a later flight and just get the boat's gonna be gone.
Yeah.
I'm gonna miss $5,000. This is the first time I'm on this cruise. They're gonna never hire me again. This is so important, please. And they're like, fine, just, you know, don't let it happen. I'm like, why are you?
Hey, wait a second.
Yeah. But anyway, what's funny too is
you
bring
take
that
it.
Up.
You take it because you're like, I'll take it, but this doesn't seem right.
It's yellow, so we're not allowed to.
Yeah.
So, but I'm on the line. I'm like, before it's moving, you know, I'm sitting there going, like, I don't need this merch. Like, there's only like 40 t-shirts, 30 t-shirts in here. Like, I could just abandon this
and fuck
off. And like, but then I was like, what am I going to put it over by the
video
trash can?
Of a guy.
Yeah. Fucking bomb squad, handcuffed out of the airport. Definitely missing the gigs now, you know?
Exactly.
So I decided, and I also thought, like, I wonder if I just went through TSA with this thing and then got to the front and they're like, oh, we got to check it up here. And I'm like,
check it.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah, I'm an idiot. I thought it was small enough.
Yeah. Everyone does that anyway. So,
I mean, I've seen, you know. Yeah, I don't know what happens.
Sometimes.
I don't know. We've got most of the tricks figured out, but the new one, it's not new. It's an old one, and it's even worse now is rental cars. I don't know how.
Oh man,
they're insanely.
It sounds like every rental car company. We did a prop. Maybe we wrote a couple jokes about it, but never. They were never good enough for the actual monologue, which really says something when we leave a joke out of the monologue of the podcast.
It must have been real bad.
Yeah, people are like renting U-Hauls because they're cheaper than rental cars. And so, because rental car companies sold off all their inventory during COVID because they had no business and Yeah. So there's a whole, I mean, even Adam was talking about, you know, opening a new club maybe. And then he's like, well, we can't buy any HVACs because they're on back order because all the factories were shut down and there's not enough workers now and everything's a shit mess. And anyway,
lumber costs.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, wood so, ladies, get that wood.
What do you what are you guys riding in there? Because you he bought.
Oh
like a,
yeah. Well, so, we've got a minivan for these things because he has to, you know, start on the West Coast or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's a real shit. Like he zip tied the fender, and the brakes kind of shake if you're going downhill. We're in Tahoe and like Utah and Colorado. So like we've just been going up and down hills all day. And like even, you know, an hour, you know, Tahoe, we're climbing these fucking steep hills and the AC just doesn't work when for some reason, like the car is like really stressed. And I don't know. So like we're like dying. We're sitting there going like, did the AC turn off or no? It's just the car can't do two things at once, I guess. So yeah, it's a real piece of shit minivan. So and he's actually on the phone trying to go like, hey, we're gonna be close to Reno, can we trade in for a better van? And they're like, we don't know if we have rental vans, but you can drive and show up. And we're like, well, it's an hour out of our way, we don't want to just show up unless there's a
unless
another
there's
van
there for us.
And they're like, well, we can get you an SUV. And he's like, no, I have four passengers and tons of luggage, I need a minivan. What about like a large sedan? No, I specifically said minivan. I swear to you can we could phone a friend and maybe see if they have a minivan. Just fucking whatever. Anyway, get on the plane to Dallas. I'm in an aisle seat. I have a full size pillow I always bring on a plane and pass out. That's only like a 30-40 minute flight, so I'm like, I won't try to trade to a window seat. I'll just like, I kind of like leaned over and just like napped, passed out or whatever for 10 minutes.
I can't, but that'd be great.
So hard.
Yeah, anyway,
And then I get on my other flight to Seattle and I'm like, I'm just dying. I haven't slept at all because I was up all night going like, you know, it's this big gig tomorrow. This is a set, right? Mm-hmm. Everything went well last night. You know, I'm going over my set again. I'm jerking off and thinking about you know, the time my dad didn't hug me when I was 11, and so you know, so I'm and I'm
that's
also like
that's what gets you off.
So it's and it's also like I have to go to the airport at 5 a.m. so if I go to bed at 4 a.m. it's gonna be useless. So anyway, so I'm dead tired. I get on the second flight and I'm like in an aisle seat again in the exit row, and so there's not even like a tray table I can lean on or anything, and I'm fucking dead. And I look at the flight attendant and I'm like, can I switch with someone? Is that gonna upset you or anything? And he's like, as long as they're okay with it. I'm like, all right, I'll just wait till someone else comes on. He's like, yeah, just ask someone to trade. And so one guy comes in, he's a big guy and he's got a window, and I'm like, all right, that's probably my best bet, but there's still like people coming, so I don't want to like, get up and go, hey, fuck you.
Yeah.
And so then this cute lady sits behind me, and that's it's a window, but the exit, there's no chair in front of it too. And I'm like, oh, that's the one, you know. So, and then I don't have to bug anybody, so I kind of like I stand up. I go, do you mind if we trade seats? Do you want to trade seats? Is that okay? And she's like, I don't care. I was like, I love you, I swear to God.
Yeah.
And we trade seats, and she, and 10 minutes later, I'm like about to pass out. And I think the last thing I even hear is the flight attendant talking to her. And he's like, oh, you traded. That's so nice of you. Yeah. He looked tired and he just wants to sleep. And and then I wake up, and then the captain's like, hey, we're landing in 40 minutes. And I'm like, okay, cool. We got, that's about three-ish hours. So,
man, I can't do that.
And then I'm like, all right, man, hopefully I can land, shower, take like another hour nap.
Yeah.
And then I lay down and I'm like, that's not,
there's no way.
There's no, you know,
too much thinking.
And then I, you know, so I show up to the gig and I'm fine, but I'm sure. Also like I'm a step slow. I even ended the show. I like forgot one of my merch pitches, and I was like, I was gonna talk about the missing the flight thing because I was like, I came up with a joke of like, you know, like we're having an employee shortage, and it's like, well, yeah, you fired everybody, And then you want them to come work while there's still a pandemic, to be honest. Like there's still, it's not really getting better. And they discovered they can make more money on OnlyFans. So you want them to come work for $8 an hour so I can yell at them about missing my flight when I should have been here.
Yeah. How are you enjoying your job right now?
Exactly. So, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But anyway, the North Bend went fine. That was a great gig and hometown love and everybody. I was so nervous
raves,
about like
mostly raves.
Yeah, yeah. Well, rants and raves. I was nervous about like the long story, like the 20-minute story about my mom mailing drugs, and because I was like, that's like, I know I did a show here a year and a half ago and told this story, but it's been a year and a half. Also, it's not going to be all the same. There's tons of people that I knew didn't come to the last show anyway.
Right.
So as I was doing it, I was like, oh, yeah, why was I so worried? Also, it's been 2 years and I almost forgot the bit. So I'm sure they can hear it a second time and laugh. So,
yep, totally.
But yeah, one lady was a little unhappy. I think we should, because we advertised with our dry bar videos, maybe people expect it or think it might be clean.
Possibly.
And so she posted in a North Bend rants and raves, very disappointed. I thought this was going to be a clean show.
Yeah. Well, I might have changed the words just for the joke purpose. But yeah, the next night I said whatever what I say. Oh, yeah, it is a family friendly show if your family is fucking cool.
Yeah, it's great. It's a good joke.
Which killed and then got us.
Well,
started,
I also opened
on
happy fucking birthday to a 15-year-old in the audience.
Yeah, everybody say happy fucking birthday. That's funny. Well, geez, what are you gonna? You know, people
you know.
Are. Totally caught it, but part of what I did in the intro and ever was say that and then go, I'll be in the lobby in 5 minutes. If you want your money back, I'll give it to you in the lobby right now in 5 minutes. If not, you have made your decision. This will decidedly not be like dry bar. No, I forgot to go to the lobby actually. But
so I think we should. Well, someone's sitting there, where the fuck did he go?
He said.
You know, we do that Q&A thing in the event description about like,
sure.
You know, I think we can add, there's definitely a line to be added. Like, will this be a family friendly show? Yeah. If you have
a cool
family.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
Promises, well, nothing vulgar, whatever.
Right. Well, that was great. And, you know, it was fun, cool people that came out. As you were leaving the Everett, that Everett bar, those three gals, memory was like, oh, is he going to have a foursome?
I wish.
I don't think so, but I mean, it's trending up, but I don't trending that much up.
That's a steep climb. That's my minivan trying to make it up Lake Tahoe climb.
But none of those gals are interested, or you don't know, or who cares?
I don't know. I think...
you don't have to say the names, but I know that, yeah.
You know, well, Blake is a cool gal, and we matched on Bumble a couple years ago, and we went out for a friendly beer a couple weeks ago, and... I don't know that I'm necessarily romantically interested in her. I think I'm going to keep playing it slow and just be real purposeful with my feelings, my heart.
There you go. Your journey.
My journey, you know. Still holding out for Katie.
Hilarious.
It is funny because, I mean, we could say names because it doesn't
matter.
Your actual
ex, yeah. Well, nobody's listening.
Well, no. Well, I don't know. Yeah. Ashley... every time I I Ashley. She posts a selfie and I go, hey, cute nurse Tacoma.
Yes. Got it.
Any more descriptive and I'm giving away too many details. every time I go fire emoji, whatever, she's like, sure. Oh, too bad you want Katie back instead of me. And I'm like, what are you talking? Like, I was flirting with you the whole pandemic and then you stopped talking to me and got back with your ex-boyfriend. And I wrote a joke about you. And then she's like, well, I'll do it again. Don't test me. And I'm like, I don't know. Okay. Right. Want to hang out or no? I don't know. I think it's better to slow play it. And we'll see. I do wonder about Katie's stuff. I mean, like, I made that joke on my Instagram caption of like, because I went shopping. You took me shopping also for jackets. Yeah. And then I went digging through my closet and I found the one I bought for Bring the Funny, which was a TV show I was going to be on for NBC. And so I made the joke of like, you've had what you wanted all along at home and you didn't have to go on a TV show. Please, Katie, take me back.
Right.
She made no comment about it, which I thought like, I also made a joke about a restraining order against some people. And I really wanted her to say, hey, if you get the lawyer for the restraining order, send me his info.
Send him out. Yeah.
I was like, and I wanted to message her and be like, dude, this is
a funny
joke.
Send
me
up for a joke here.
Yeah. I don't know. But I also don't, you know, ever since she called me a clout chaser, I just leave her alone. And but she'll go in, she'll like watch half my story every once in a while and then like click out of it. And she'll send me a DM and be like, oh, I posted something about like, don't let the industry fuck you over. Don't seek approval. Don't be too concerned about the approval of people you don't give a fuck about or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she was like, thank you. Cause she's been posting lots of like dramatic stuff. And I never know if she's like acting and trying to get the ratings up or whatever.
Sure.
And, or she's like really struggling and she's like,
right.
She posted
right.
a TikTok the other day that was like, this is my fucking channel. You don't have to follow me. And I'm like, all right. I guess if I was getting the same amount of criticism at her level, I'd be frustrated. Yeah. But
we got one rant and we were talking about it. So, you know,
I know. Yeah. That's true. Well, you know, in a playful, sure. I didn't bother me, I should say,
sure.
which is a sure. new level. You know, I definitely would have been upset about that a few years ago, probably. But it's hard to care when you're like, I was at the show and it was pretty good.
Yeah, it wasn't too.
And I'm not
shouldn't have been
filthy,
too upsetting. Like, you combine a few jokes from Todd and a few from me and a few from
sure,
you, and
sure,
then all of a sudden,
yeah.
it's
me
a,
too. see my dick, but
well, it was all great and it was all good, and we'd love to do it. If anybody's still listening, that means you must want to hear us live. So, I mean, there's all, I gotta imagine it's three or four at this point, but where, tell us where you live and the place that's like 100, 150, 200 seat, I don't know, venue, and we'll come give it a go. Andrew J. Rivers on all the things. Corey Michaelis comedy on all the things. Thanks for listening to the special episode. Goodbye.
Tune into the Patreon to see me in my hotel room laying down, baby. Oh, yeah.